Let's turn to a couple places here to start the morning. Exodus chapter 12 and Proverbs 10. Exodus chapter 12 and Proverbs 10. Exodus chapter 12 lands us right in the middle of a discourse on the Passover, the Lord telling the children of Israel what's going to happen. Of course, they're to take up the Passover lamb, kill him, and splotch his blood over their door lintels. And I just wanted you to see verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel, and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Now keep your finger in Exodus 12, because we'll be back here in just a couple minutes. But in Proverbs 10, notice verse 3. Proverbs 10, 3. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come here this morning for instruction and help in things that we need, Lord. The Bible is where the rubber meets the road book, Lord. This is not high theology. This is not something just for the knowledge of things, Lord. This is for our daily lives. We pray that you'd strengthen our hearts by what we hear. Give us confidence in our God, knowing our future, our destiny, our fate, Lord. We're thankful for the promises. We know we're exceeding rich in Christ, and we're asking this morning that you'll make these things real to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, those two verses have something in common. You probably noted it, I'm not sure. But Proverbs chapter 10, verse 3, which we'll return to in a little while, says, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. And it said in Exodus chapter 12 there that the Lord will not suffer the destroyer to come into your homes and smite you. This, of course, talking to the children of Israel in the land of Egypt on the night of the Passover. Now, it says the Lord says there twice, the Lord will not suffer something to happen. Now, anybody can probably figure out from the context there that that means allow. The Lord will not allow it to happen. And I suppose I should take just a moment, because I realize that we don't probably use the word suffer like that very often. I doubt you say, no, son, I will not suffer you to have any M&Ms right now. It might ruin your supper. You say, no, I will not allow you to have any. I understand that's the case. You say, well, the King James Bible needs to be updated. Well, let me take just a minute, a little sermon within a sermon here. I won't take too long with this. No, you need to be updated. That's what needs to happen. You need to be updated. Folks, just again as a side note, aside from the topic of the sermon this morning, I don't know if you realize it or not. I was thinking about this over the weekend, last week. But your Bible is something that you two are to aspire to for an entire lifetime. Your Bible is not some elemental, some rudimentary reader. It was not, although it has short words, and for the most part, most of the words that you understand, it was not intended that you should understand it all the first time that you read it through. I just have news for you. It's not written that way. The author that wrote its thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and his ways are higher than your ways, and you were never intended to grasp it all the first time through, or the 10th time through, or the 30th time through. I finished my 80th time through this last week, and I promise you I ain't got it all. See, what's the point, Brother Stevens? The point is the Bible is a lifelong project for a Christian to know, grasp, and come to understand. You know, and I don't understand the spirit of it. I've read some books about some guys, some mountaineers, some mountain climbers. And mountaineers and mountain climbers, I don't understand. I don't know why you aspire to climb a rock. But for a lot of those guys, there are some of those guys that something like Mount Everest haunts them. It's a specter to them. They can't stop dreaming about it, thinking about it. It's there to be clumb. And, you know, they I don't know how many men have successfully climbed the dumb thing. I'm not going to be one of them, God willing. I don't know why he would will me to do that. I don't intend to ever climb it, but for some people, it calls to them, you know. And there's so many ways that mountain has killed men. And at the same time that's the case, you know, imagine, I'm sure that there's an easier way. I'm sure that if you took several hundred tons of dynamite up the mount, I bet you could blast out a relatively easy way up Everest so that over, say, the next 10 years, there would get to be a bunch of people that got to the top of Everest. But you know, if somebody undertook to do that, you know that there would be a firestorm of protest from people who the mountain challenges and who have challenged the mountain, and that mountain is intended to be clumb the way it is. Right? Well, listen, I got news for you folks. The Word of God is unchanging. You change. Don't take dynamite to the Bible just so that caress your pitiful little vocabulary, your pitiful little weakness. This is true. Yeah, I have another thing to say. You know what I like to hear people say, you know, something to the effect is, the Bible is outdated. I am so tired of hearing it. I just want to say one thing. I don't know if you realize this or not, but the Bible, the English Bible, and I will go all the way back to Wycliffe and Tyndale up through the King James Bible. Those Bibles gave us the English that we know. It is as much responsible for giving us the English. You see, our Bible is not subject to the English. The English is subject to the Bible. So, having said all that, we shall use the word suffer. There are some things that God will not suffer. We understand that there are some that those things He does not allow, but He does not suffer them. And with respect to that, I want to talk to you about some things that God will not suffer, because it sure seems like sometimes that God suffers a lot. It sure seems sometimes like God allows a lot. Sometimes it seems like He allows a lot because He's merciful. And when we would snap somebody's neck, the Lord waits and pities them and is merciful to them for years and years and years beyond what we would be merciful. So sometimes it's that. Sometimes the Lord suffers some things and allows some things to come into people's lives because they're trials and they're temptations, and none of us like trials and temptations. Sometimes it's the fact that God doesn't tell time like we do. Somebody suffers through something for a year, for a month, and that seems like a terribly long time. And to us, it is a terribly long time. A year is roughly 1/70th of our lives. Man, folks, a year is nothing with God. He doesn't count time like you and me, right? But it sure seems like God suffers some things. He allows some things. In fact, in the Bible, it says that He suffered Israel to hunger and thirst in the wilderness. So He will suffer you to hunger and thirst at times, perhaps. He suffered men to go to war. He suffers us to be punished. He suffers us to suffer trials and tribulations, some hard things and that. Paul said that there was a day as an apostle that he even suffered need. So we say God will meet all our needs. I believe that God will meet all our needs. God met all of Paul's needs. Doesn't mean that He won't allow you to suffer need for a little while, right? Now, having said that, folks, we would much rather that He would suffer nothing uncomfortable to come our way. That's what we really want. Let's all admit it. We're soft and we're lazy, and we don't want to hurt any. And we would much rather that He would suffer nothing uncomfortable to come our way. But like somebody said somewhere, you know, a ship was not built to lay anchor in the harbor. And folks, if you're a soldier of Christ, and you are, soldiers are born and trained to fight. If you're a vessel, there are lots of vessels that have to carry unpalatable things in them. Sometimes servants have to do things the master isn't going to do, and the servants do something that isn't pleasant to do. Correct? I tell you what is nice to know. What is nice to know that is that with the things the Lord does allow and does suffer us to suffer, it is also true, and it's a comfort, that there are limitations to it. I want to talk to you about those limitations for a little while, because there are some things that the Bible says that God will not suffer. He will not allow them. And the first thing is found in Exodus 12. Now, I understand that this is typological. When we read the Passover, we automatically, as Christians, see the Lord Jesus Christ. And well, we should, because that is exactly what it stood for. That's what it stood for all the way back in Egypt in 1400 B.C. It stood for the day that Jesus Christ would come, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, and would apply His blood to men's sins. Right? So we understand that to be true. And notice in verse 23, the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when He seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. He will not suffer the destroyer. I'd like to use one word to describe this. It's called protection. There are some things the Lord will not suffer. There are some things that He will suffer. A lot of times He allows us to suffer more than we care to. And I can't do a thing about that. But is it not comforting to know that there are limits to it? And there are things that He will not suffer. He will not suffer the destroyer. Now listen, folks, Israel was a slave nation. They were a slave nation for well over 400 years. They went through all kinds of things. They went through hard bondage. And after Moses showed up, they went through more rigor than they had prior to that. And so in some ways it may have seemed to them that things got worse after their prophet showed up. But the Lord certainly allowed plenty of hardship and suffered plenty of hard things to come into their lives. That is true enough. But it is also true that God draws a line. And one of the things, I don't know, I don't consider myself to have had a hard life, and I realize that there are some folks that go through things, are going through things, have been through things, and I tell you what's sad to stand up and admit, I don't want to go through what some of you go through. At the same time, it's also a blessing to be able to stand up and say that there's a limit to it, and that one of those limitations has to do with protection, that God will not suffer the destroyer. He will not suffer the destroyer. You and I go through a lot of things in life. God allows stuff that we do not want, that we did not ask for. God allows some things to happen. God does not answer prayer the way we would answer prayer if we were God. Well, maybe He answers prayer better than we would answer prayer if we were God. But God doesn't relieve us like we want to be relieved, and we preconceive in our minds how He might relieve us, and then He doesn't, and we get disappointed. And I understand that all those things are true. Those are hard things, but I tell you what, it's nice to know there are limits. And one of the limitations that you have, folks, you have some certain and some sanctified ground where there is no trespassing allowed. If the Lord has allowed some things through your front gate that you don't appreciate, I don't know how to help you other than to tell you that you'll have to go before the mercy seat, before the God of the universe, and to work it out with Him. But I'll tell you this, there is a plot in your backyard and in your life that God will not allow anybody to trespass into. You know, folks, eternal security is a monumental blessing and treasure in this life. And if you're saved, there's one thing you can say. There's a lot of things that can happen, but I tell you what will not happen. The Lord will not suffer the destroyer to come in your house and smite you. Eternal security is a wonderful and a glorious treasure. It is a wonderful thing. The Lord has limited the chain, the slack in the chain of the devil. He will not let Him have your soul again if you are saved. The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 37, He that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus Christ said that no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand, No man's able to pluck them out of my hand. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things I'm more than conqueror through him that loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There are limitations to what God will suffer, and He will not put up with the devil trying to sneak back in to take your soul. He will not suffer it. It does not happen. In fact, it says in one place, the wording that I really like, it says that after you're saved, this is 2 Timothy chapter 2, that after you're saved, if you come to a point after you're saved now that you believe not, yet he abideth faithful, and then it says even something better, he cannot deny himself. Now, you know, it said back there in Exodus, back here in Exodus, it says that he would not suffer the destroyer. Man, in Timothy it says that he cannot deny himself. It's one thing for God to say, I will not suffer that, I will not put up with that. That's a big promise, that's a glorious promise. But when it says that he cannot deny himself, and if you're part of his body, you are himself, he cannot deny himself, that's a grand thing, folks. There are things that God can't do. Think about it. Omniscient, omnipresent, omnipowerful. There are some things he can't do. One of the things he can't do is deny himself after you are in the body of Christ. That's a wonderful thing. There are irreversible transactions that occur. There are some things and locks that fall into place when you trust Jesus Christ, and it's locked in and can't be undone. It can't be undone. There's a lot of collateral damage in life. There's a lot of things that can happen. Whatever else is the case, a Christian never loses everything. Okay? You think, I tell you what, tears me up sometimes to think of the guys that went to war and won, you know, posthumous medals of honor for their country, for liberty, for whatever cause in their heads and minds that they were fighting for. Maybe it was just following orders. And in dying a hero's death, they died and went to hell. They died for a cause that was glorious, all for nothing, and they lost everything. Whatever is the case, no Christian loses everything. No Christian loses everything. The most precious treasures that you have are placed out of reach of the destroyer. And there is one simple qualifier to this. You have got to have blood on the door. You got to have blood on the door. Now, we preached salvation here the other afternoon to a bunch of Mormons, a bunch of lost people at that wedding. And a bunch of those folks know the terminology, and they knew when they came in here, some of them, what I was going to say about Jesus Christ. But the blood isn't on the door. They can make nice after the service, shake my hand, and a couple of those Mormons come up to me and say, we really enjoyed the service. It's good to hear it. Hey, pal, that's real nice, but blood is not on your door. Because you don't even believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. The blood's not on the door. Look, you have eternal security if blood's on the door. Because the Lord will not suffer. He will not put up with it. If the devil approaches your door, he's going to get nailed by God. The Lord will not suffer the destroyer to come into your house and smite you. That's neat. That's protection. Now, there's something else that I want you to see. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Some things the Lord will not suffer. Some things he will not put up with. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and this is somewhat akin to what I just said, somewhat. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And it says this, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. The devil was limited in how far he could go with Job. God drew the line and said, don't take his life, don't do this, and the devil could not go past it. God did not suffer him. And by this, first of all, you need to understand that as far as what God will not suffer, first of all, there's protection. He will not suffer the destroyer, once you're saved, to come take your soul. That's safe no matter what. I want you to see the limitation, though. He also will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. The Father promises to limit the temptation so that it does not exceed what we are able to bear. I was in high school football all through high school, well, for junior high for that matter. And you haven't had a blessing until the third week of August in Texas. You put on a helmet and pads and go at it twice a day. It is such a blessing. And you know, always in the summer, I endeavored to get in shape, get back in shape, football shape. And you know what I learned? I learned that I could never get myself in anything like the shape that the football coach could. And you know, folks, what the problem was? The problem is that we say uncle real fast, right? Fact of the matter is that you and I, left to ourselves, we will only try the limits of our comfort, not the limits of our ability. And if it was up to you, when you got tried, and the Lord said, okay, when you've had enough, just say uncle. You'd say uncle before he ever touched you. It's true. We will only try the limits of our comfort. We never try the limits of our ability. Now, I don't know what you think, but tell me, what is God going to try when He tries you? He ain't going to try the limits of your comfort, I'll tell you that. He's going to try the limits of your ability. Now, God takes Israel, and He takes them pretty deep. He takes them 3 days into the wilderness without water. Now, how long has it been since you were 3 days without anything to drink? Uncomplaining and not murmuring. I mean, really. We kind of look down our noses at Israel, who saw the Red Sea open and all those things. But listen, after 3 days with no water, what would you be doing? Right? He doesn't try the limits of our comfort. He tries the limits of our ability. And it says that He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Now, here's the lesson of this. The exact application to 1 Corinthians 10 has to do with sin and temptation. Okay? You do not have to sin. You do not have to give in. You do not. It says there, He is faithful, and He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape so that it doesn't bother you anymore. That's not what it said. He makes a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He didn't promise that you weren't going to bear temptation again. Now, these guys that, get saved and then tell you that after you get saved, that you're not really saved unless you got rid of the temptation to sin. They're full of dope. They're just full of baloney, folks. Because He did not promise you that you would not be tempted. He did not promise you that you would have no temptation to bear. He promised you limitation of where it would be limited so that it's not beyond your ability to be able to bear it. To bear it. Now, folks, I'll tell you what a part of this is about. One part, and then there's another part. One part of this is about not being a baby. Not being the devil's pushover. Not being one of those guys where the devil snaps his fingers and you run and jump. And the first little discomfort that comes your way, oh, I can't take it anymore. Yes, you can. Because it says there in the passage, He's faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted. Above that, you're able. But I got news for you, folks. There's another part of this. And it is really difficult. It's difficult because there's places that I have never been. And sadly, there are places that I don't ever want to go. There are folks that in our church that live with things. And it makes me sick to my stomach to think about it. I don't want their lot. All right? And I think of the martyrs who escaped the sin and bore up under them temptation. And I've read books on interrogation methods and torture. And I'll tell you what the State Department teaches and the CIA teaches. They teach that if somebody does capture you and torture you, they will get out of you what they want. Unless they mess up. First of all, there's drugs today. But second of all, in general, they will just simply yield the fact that eventually they will wear you down so that you will give them the information. And yet, folks, we have testimony by the hundreds of martyrs who were tortured brutally and did not give the information. And folks, I tell you what, the only thing that I can come up with in that thing is that if God says He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, then it must be that God grants grace somewhere to go through something that you wouldn't have. None of us has had to die yet. It'll take grace to die well. I have never suffered the loss of a spouse or the loss of a child, and I hope to never. But you know what? If it happens, I guess God has to grant grace to be able to bear it. Right? There are some here that have, and they will say that He will. I have to trust that He'll give me grace. I have to trust that moment by moment, it is not beyond my ability to bear it, that I have to take the escape, and that God is true and that God is faithful, and that He limits things so that it never exceeds my capacity. Like I said, there are folks among us that face stuff every day that most of us want nothing to do with. You need to pray for them. Pray for grace for them. There's something else I wanted you to see. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Things God will not suffer. He will not suffer the destroyer. That's protection. Eternal security. There, if you're saved, there is something the devil can never, ever reach. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. That's not protection, that's limitation. God will not suffer certain things past a certain point, your ability to be able to bear it. And then there's this, Deuteronomy chapter 18. And again, I understand this is back under law. Let's see if we can make an application here. Deuteronomy chapter 18, and let's begin reading with verse 10. It says, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do such things are an abomination unto the Lord. Not because, or rather, and because of these abominations, the Lord Thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Then it says this, for these nations which thou shalt possess, talking about Israel going into the land and dispossessing the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Amorites and so on, these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. God hath not suffered thee so to do. Most of the two things that we've talked about to this point have been to our advantage. Not a big old pillow or anything, but He's given us eternal security. That's protection. There's a place that He will not allow the devil. He will not suffer the devil to come in on us there. He will not suffer temptation for us past a certain point, not beyond our ability to bear it. Okay? Those are positive things. Those are good things. Now, let's not forget this. There's not just protection, there's not just limitation, there's also a restriction. All right? Now, the Lord says, there's something that I will not suffer. There are some things that I will not put up with. Eternal security is a protection thing. It's a wonderful thing. It is a blessing. And you know, sometimes people abuse and disabuse eternal security, and they use it for a license. I've known folks to argue, well, you people just believe in eternal security so that you can live like you want to live. I just want you to know, I realize it may look from the outside like there are some people that are doing that, but I can tell you this. Anybody that thinks eternal security allows you to do anything you want to do doesn't understand the God of the Bible very well. And he doesn't read the Bible very well, and he hasn't learned very many lessons in his own life practically either. Okay? Now, what I want you to see here was the restriction. And what the Lord said in this thing is that he said, there are some things that I will not suffer. I will not put up with. And in this particular case, it has to do with diviners and enchanters and witches and witchcraft and that sort of thing. Now listen, you know, one of the things that I believe has been sorely overlooked in teaching the last generation of Christians and perhaps the generation before that is the fact that, yes, salvation is free, but if you think that's where the matter ends, you have been ill-taught. Because, you know, folks, right now, folks are busy building big old churches on salvation in Christ, and then anything goes after that. Now, I just want you to know that I have a tract at home tucked away. I used to have it in my Bible, and then I don't see them around anymore, so I hated to lose it, so I kind of put it away. But it's called Others May, You Cannot. And what the Lord acknowledges in this passage is that He allowed, for a time anyway, the nations to get away with something that He would not suffer Israel to get away with. The quicker you learn that lesson, the better off you'll be. The Lord put up with stuff with you when you were lost that if you ever decide to go back, He ain't going to put up with anymore. Okay? He will not suffer it. He has higher expectations of you than He has of the world. He has higher expectations of you that have heard the Bible preached for 10 years than those who have no Bible training, even though they've been saved for 6 months. He has higher expectations. There are restrictions. There are things He will not suffer you to do that it may look like to you anyway that He allows others to do. The Bible says between the Egyptians and the Israelites that God hath put a difference, and there is a difference. Back in the 40s, back in the 50s, there's something that arose. It was called New Evangelicalism. And nowadays we talk about a new evangelical church and da-di-da. New Evangelicalism, what it was all about was they wanted to keep salvation and basic Bible doctrine, but they wanted to throw out anything that had to do with living different from the world. That was fundamentalism, and fundamentalism was too hard. That was too many rules. They built walls. They wouldn't build bridges back to the world. So new evangelicalism was built on keeping Christ in the gospel, but throwing out separation from the world after salvation. And so now we have the emerging church, we have the mega churches and the giga churches. You have churches that many times now don't even really preach and teach salvation, but anything goes, anything goes. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, in this passage, it's applied to enchanters and it's applied to diviners. And down in verse 15, the Lord went ahead to say, the Lord thy God, after saying, the Lord will not suffer you to do that. He goes on to say, the Lord thy God will raise unto thee, Israel, a prophet. Don't go to diviners, don't go to enchanters, and don't go to witches. I'm going to give you a prophet to give you my words. I got news for you. We're Bible-believing Christians. Listen, folks, God gave us not a prophet. God gave us a perfect book. You don't go to diviners. You don't go to enchanters. Don't go to a tarot card reader. Don't go to a palm reader. Don't fool around with necromancy and nonsense. If you have a Ouija board, throw it out. You don't need that stuff. You don't want that stuff. You don't need the conflict of that stuff. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, I'm going to tell you, the Lord will not suffer it. Now, I know that the specifics here is Israel under law. I understand that. And I understand that the specific of it is enchantment, witchcraft, that specific as well. I just got news for you. This spreads a broad brush in the New Testament. There's stuff God won't put up with. Just so you know, He will not suffer it. Listen, folks, God will not suffer adultery. Marriage is honorable all, and the bed is undefiled. But adulterers and whoremongers, God will judge. He will not put up with it. God will not, and there's no singular verse for it. God will not put up with pornography in your life. He will judge you. Your life will get hard if you're messing with it. He will not put up with it. He will not suffer it. If you've been a Christian for 5 years and you have a bad testimony, a rotten temper, if on a regular occasion you fire off a blue stream off your lips in the presence of other people, God is going to get you. I'm not saying He's going to kill you. He might. I'm not saying He's going to kill you, but He will not put up with that stuff in a New Testament, Bible-believing, eternally secure Christian's life. He's going to get you. He's going to whoop you. He loves you, and He'll chasten you. And He'll chasten you if He has to cripple you. He will not put up with it. He will not put up with the mountain. Ladies, if your man is trying to do right spiritually and you will not follow, God ain't going to put up with that. Gentlemen, if you won't lead your home, God ain't going to put up with that. I'm not threatening you with specifics. He may give you 16 flat tires in a row and your bank account may go down to nothing. I don't know if He'll make your hair fall out. I don't know what He'll do. But somewhere in your life that you understand, He will judge you. He will not put up with it. You can argue about clothes all day long, but ladies, the Bible says modest apparel. We don't need to see your cleavage. And if you're going to keep up, if you're going to keep on, God will deal with it some way. There's lots of things that happen all kinds of ways. Restriction. Restriction. I will not suffer some things, He says. And there are things that He will not suffer. One last thing. Look in Proverbs chapter 10 and Psalm 55. Psalm 55 and Proverbs chapter 10. What God will not suffer. Now, we started in Proverbs 10 earlier, It says in verse 3, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. It says back in Psalm 55, verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, He shall sustain thee, He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Before I tell you what this is, you know, it strikes me that nowadays, as since America is kind of on the brink of something and everybody kind of knows it, it strikes me how Americans have lost their sense of value, of what's valuable. I'll give you an example. We bought the series of Barney, not the dinosaur Barney, the Andy Griffith Show. I couldn't think. The Andy Griffith Show. You know Barney, Mayberry, Sheriff, Weird Little Deputy. Okay? Black and white. Started out black and white in the end. Well, so we have the whole TV series of that. It's all, you know, fun and games. It's fun. We got the latter season we were watching sometime in recent past. I don't know, 10 days ago or whatever. And in one of the episodes, Andy and Aunt B are going through one of their Mayberry crises or something. And Andy's talking to Aunt B, who's crying. I forget what it's about now, but he says, well, it's not all bad. We still have our money, our health, and our friends. We still have our money, our health, and our friends. And I'm thinking, now this is the same show where they still sing hymns in the church on the show, right? It's a show, the setting was supposed to be in North Carolina back in the, I guess, 40s and 50s and 60s or whatever. Money, health, and friends. I got thinking, you know, here we are in our land now. Obviously, now there's alarm all about, right? I mean, you can turn on talk radio any day and you'll hear alarmed voices talking about our liberties that are going down the tubes, our capitalist society, our prestige and power and influence as a nation, our culture, and our material wealth. Right? Fact is, what we're watching is the slow turn, you know, down the whirlpool of the bathtub as those things are gaining speed to go down into the thing. And I got thinking about that, and you know, one of the things about it is listening to some talk radio and all that. They talk about how our culture's undermined and our capitalist system, and you keep coming up with these different things that, you know, the things that are going downhill, the things that made America great. Our love of freedom, our love of liberty, our patriotism, our culture, our capitalist society, our economy, etc., etc., etc. And I just want you folks to know something. You know, what these people are watching go down the tubes, those things are symptoms. Because what we lost was the real thing a long time ago. And they have a hard time. Rush Limbaugh has a hard time defining what's really wrong. In fact, I don't know that he ever has. The Sean Hannitys and the Michael Medveds and those guys that probably we all listen to, they have a difficult time defining what actually went wrong. Yeah, capitalism's going, the economy's going, liberty's going, freedom's going, what America stood for is going, our prestige is going. None of those things is what made us. I tell you what I keep thinking about. I keep thinking about Joseph sold into slavery by brethren that hated him, sold to the Midianites, then sold to Potiphar, then framed by Potiphar's wife, and so here he is knocked down again in an Egyptian prison, far from home, basically just a boy, but the Bible said that God was with him. Here are the disciples, and they're sitting in the midst of a storm, in the midst of the Sea of Galilee, sinking. They were in jeopardy. But God was with them. Now, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest treasure that you have is the Lord. A personal relationship with the Lord. and God's personal relationship back to you. See, it ain't just one way. It's not just that you're trying to develop a personal relationship with God. It is the fact that God blesses you personally. That He has a relationship with you personally. That He wrote a book to you personally. And that He has preaching just for you personally. Right? And with it being that way, the Lord said He would not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. It said in Psalm 55:22 that cast thy burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You know what I take for that? I take from that provision. Not just that the Lord won't suffer the devil to come steal your soul. That's protection. Not just that He won't suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. That's limitation. Not just that, you know, He won't suffer some things. He won't suffer you to do some things in your life that maybe you once did, or that there's somebody that you know that still does that still hadn't gotten in the neck. He may allow them to for some reason, or it may look like that to you. He won't put up with it in you. He won't put up with it. It's restriction. But I want you to know that there's also provision. He said, I will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. Somebody's saved. Somebody's trying to do right. Whatever else is going to happen, you're not going to starve spiritually. There should still be an element of joy in your heart and in your life from what God has to say to you personally. It is a relationship. Little Joseph sat hated, abhorred, betrayed, lied about, have his testimony ruined before Potiphar in the midst of prison, but God was with him. And he did not suffer his soul to famish. And he did not suffer the feet of that righteous young man to be moved, and he got out of prison and he came out of it. Now, folks, I can't promise an easy ride or anything like that. You know that I'm not even saying that. But we got to hold to what's valuable here. You have God. You have something. I mean, if there's 300 million Americans in this country, how many million of those Americans do you really think have God like you do? I know there's a ton of them. There's probably a third of them. There's probably a half of them that would claim to have Him. I do not think for a moment that anything like a third of them have Him like you have Him. You've got to hold to what's valuable. And the Lord said, I will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. Things may get bad. But things ain't going to get that bad for you. You're going to still have the greatest treasure that an earthly being can have, and then get to go on to eternity and enjoy the rest of it. I will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. Let's pray. Now, Father, we're not trying to impart damage control here this morning by any stretch. Lord, we've been victorious in Christ from the day that we trusted Him, and we still have that victory. Now, we are surrounded by naysayers and gainsayers. We are surrounded by all sorts of lies, and for that matter, all sorts of truths. Father, none of those things ought to affect our relationship with Thee. I know that there are folks going through things here. There are some things that we'll all have to go through, unpleasant, before this is all over. Most of us have been down that road a ways before. I pray, Father, that You'd help us to remember these things, that as You do suffer some things to come into our lives, there are certain things that You will not suffer. I pray You'd help us to have a balance in these things. May it encourage our hearts to hear it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our hymn book as we stand to number 390. 390. 390. Everybody knows, I know, but no service tonight. Y'all are welcome to change clothes here and head over to the park. And if somebody wants to get over there, and if it's covered up with a bunch of people or something, give me a call, and we'll maybe go over to the other one from there. But other than that, any questions? If you've never been to the park, some other folks here know where it's at. There's maps on the back table. Any questions or anything at this point? We're good. All right, we'll see you there. If I can get some guys, help me load some tables. We'll be in fine shape.